ओम केनचमिनंद सियाजनाजना सलकया चक्षुसमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदमायं ददति सह पदन्तिकम् वंशकोपतुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Canto 5, Chapter 25. The Glories of Lord Ananta. The previous chapter, Vilasraga, has described the lower planetary systems, in which even in some of them there is great, great opulence. Now, moving down, we find that when we go further down, we will find Lord Ananta, who is not at all down, actually, because he is the transcendental Lord. And wherever he is situated, he is still fully the Lord, completely the Lord. He is transcendental. That is what transcendental means. It means it's beyond time and space. So wherever Krishna is, even at the bottom of the universe, he is never at the bottom of the universe. He is always situated in transcendental bliss in the spiritual realm, having nothing to do with the material energy. So this chapter has 15 verses, one of the shorter chapters in the Bhagavatam. So we'll read it, and there are some purports that describe the glories of Lord Ananta. And there are three verses in it, in this chapter, that describe what Narada Muni says about Lord Ananta. And there's a very important instruction in that. More than one, but a very important instruction that will also be expanded in the first chapters, the first three chapters of the sixth canto, when Ajamil is discussed. Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Prickett, "My dear king, approximately 240,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So we've heard the description of the different planetary systems on the lower half of the universe in the previous chapter. Just prior to that, we had heard of the planetary systems, including the Shishumara planetary system that's in the shape of a dolphin in the upper half of the universe. So beneath the planet of Patala, and yesterday we heard about seven different lower planetary systems, beginning with, Sutala is one of them, Mahatal, Talatal, Patal is the lowest one there. So below that one, below that planetary system, lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Shankarshan. He is always in the transcendental position, but because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamagun or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. So Tamasi means one who possesses all tamas or ignorance. But he is the source of everything, and although he may possess it, nothing is external to him, nothing is outside of him. He is not at all touched by the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion or the mode of goodness even. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living being thinks, "I am the enjoyer And every conditioned living entity thinks that I am the enjoyer, because this mood is dictated by false ego, a false identity. Because who are we? Jivera Srupoi Krishna Nityas. We are Krishna's servant. That is our ego. That is our identity. So when we leave that identity, when we forget that, regardless of our situation, we always think of ourselves as the enjoyer, and that is called false ego. So that consciousness is common to all conditioned souls, because it is based on false ego, and all conditioned souls have false ego. That is the first thing that needs to be acquired in the material world. So Ananta Dev is the predominating deity of that. He is the controller of ignorance and false ego, because false ego means ignorance. It means ignorance of our actual identity. So when the conditioned living being thinks I am the enjoyer and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me, this conception of life is dictated to him by Shankarshan. So we can't even be an illusion by our own power. We are dependent upon the Lord even for our illusion. We are so tiny, we are insignificant. So this conception of life is allowed. The living entity is allowed to possess this conception of life by the Lord, and is dictated to him by Shankarshan. Thus the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, maybe not in the sense of I'm the all-powerful, all-controlling source of everything, but the Supreme Lord, every conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord in the sense of, at least in the sense of thinking that the universe is centered around him and his needs, and how disappointed we are when things don't go our way, and how hurt we are, and how angry we become at others. As if the universe is centered around us and our needs and what we want. One time Prabhupada had received a letter. This was in Melbourne. And he said, he looked, and he was saying what the person who wrote him the letter had addressed it. Dear Srila Prabhupada, I am so insignificant, I am so fallen, I have a great problem. And he said, just see. What's the contradiction there? How could someone be insignificant and so fallen and have a great problem? Someone who is insignificant can only have an insignificant problem. But this is the way we think. Even though on one hand, in our great humility, we think ourselves so, but we think we have big problems and everything is so important because it's happened to us. But actually we are tiny and insignificant. There are how many living entities in this world? There are how many humans? Maybe 4 billion. We are one of those. But how many living entities are there? Countless. Billions upon billions of this 4 billion humans. How many living entities are there? How many birds and beasts and bugs and rats and mice and mosquitoes? And there's probably 4 billion slaters in my backyard eating up all the little plants that I have. So many, and here we are one. And we think ourselves very important and possessing big, big problems. Or we can do something very significant. Or we can actually enjoy independently. So in this sense, we think ourselves the Supreme Lord. Verse 2. So that consciousness again is dictated by this Lord Anantadev or Shankarshan. Sukadev Goswami continued, this great universe, situated on one of Lord Anantadev's thousands of hoods, appears just like a white mustard seed, so tiny and insignificant. that's the universe with its thousands and thousands of planets, and each one populated by billions of living entities, and it's situated like a white, teeny, insignificant white mustard seed on Anantashesh. It is infinitesimal compared to the hood of Lord Ananta. And here we are thinking, well, this is called illusion. At the time of devastation, when Lord Anantadev desires to destroy the entire creation, he becomes slightly angry. Then from between his two eyebrows appears three-eyed Rudra, carrying a trident. This Rudra, who is known as Shankarshan, is the embodiment of the 11 Rudras, or incarnations of Lord Shiva. He appears in order to devastate the entire creation. Prabhupada has a short purport here. In each creation, the living entities are given a chance to close their business as conditioned souls. We can end this illusion. We have that chance. When they misuse this opportunity and do not go back home back to Godhead, Lord Shankarshan becomes angry. The 11 Rudras, expansions of Lord Shiva, come out of Lord Shankarshan's eyebrows due to his angry mood, and all of them together devastate the entire creation. Text 4. The pink transparent toenails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Shankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles, and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessings, smear his arms with agaru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kunkum, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. So, when was that, Sri Radharaman, do you remember when you asked that question of where this was referred to? It was in the fifth canto, Lord, yes? Well, here's where it was referred to, wherever it was mentioned. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Remember, it describes that the princesses were looking at him with great longing, and it described Anantadev in the previous verse as becoming angry. And here it also describes him as being intoxicated. How is this possible? How is this possible? Ordinary people become intoxicated and angry. And these things are practically prohibited for spiritual life. So how is it possible that Lord Anantadev is experiencing these things? Purport. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. Thus all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Jamadyasya Yataha, that everything has its originates in the Absolute Truth. This is the definition of the Absolute Truth. That from which everything emanates. And it itself emanates from nothing. I mean, not that it emanates from nothing, but it has no source, rather. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adiras, the original lusty feelings which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is very highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and the damsels of Braja. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished if he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. So the dealings between Radha and the gopis and Krishna are called kamatmika. They are fully imbued with kam. So kam means desire or lust. Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhava, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. That kama and anger, which Ananta also experiences, they are born from rajaguna, or the mode of passion. But when Krishna experiences kama, or loving sentiments and loving desires towards the gopis, or Ananta Dev experiences anger, these are not the same as born from rajaguna. They are not the same that we may experience. They are of a completely different quality, as iron and gold may be both metals, and one could say, here are metals, iron and gold, but actually the quality of these metals is completely different. So because we, conditioned souls, don't have an experience of spiritual anger, spiritual calm, spiritual love, therefore, the tendency is to mistake the loving dealings of Radha and Krishna to be material. Atmavan manyate jagat. We see outside according to our own mind. So because our minds have these material experiences when we hear about Krishna and Anantadev, the tendency is to think, oh, it's just like me. His experiences are just like mine, but actually they are completely different. They are the truth, the reality. Well, what we experience is a reflection, false reflection that has no actual substance. It's illusion. Text 6. Lord Shankarshan is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities, and thus he is known as Anantadev. Ananta means unlimited. He is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is an expansion of the Lord. For the welfare of all living entities within this material world, he resides in his abode, restraining his anger and intolerance. Sukadev Goswami continued, the demigods, the demons, the uragas, serpentine demigods, the siddhas, the gandharvas, the vidyadharas, and many highly elevated sages constantly offer prayers to the Lord. Because he is intoxicated, the Lord looks bewildered, and his eyes, appearing like flowers in full bloom, move to and fro. He pleases his personal associates, the heads of the demigods, by the sweet vibrations emanating from his mouth. Dressed in bluish garments and wearing a single earring, he holds a plow on his back with his two beautiful and well-constructed hands. Appearing as white as the heavenly King Indra, he wears a golden belt around his waist and a bijanti garland of ever-fresh tulsi blossoms around his neck. Bees, intoxicated by the honey-like fragrance of the tulsi flowers, hum very sweetly around the garland, which thus becomes more and more beautiful. In this way, the Lord enjoys his very magnanimous pastimes. So everything that Krishna does in each of his forms, in every form, is completely transcendental. And it is not anthropomorphic. It is not that he is created because we have these conceptions in our mind. When we conceive of God, we conceive of him being like us. No, it is the other way around, that the living entities are created more or less in the image of the Lord. So we are made in his image. He is not made in our image. And everything that exists in the spiritual realm, it exists in the material realm, but in a shadowy, reflective aspect that has no true substance. And therefore, in the material world, we look for things like love. We look for things like satisfaction in relationships. But because we're looking in the shadowy world, the reflective world, we cannot ourselves become happy. So we are being asked to look towards the Lord, from darkness to the Lord. If persons who are very serious about being liberated from material life hear the glories of Anantadev from the mouth of a spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession, and if they always meditate upon Shankarshan, the Lord enters the cores of their hearts, vanquishes all the dirty contamination of the material modes of nature, and cuts to pieces the hard knot within the heart, which has been tied tightly since time immemorial by the desire to dominate material nature through fruit of activities. What does fruit of activities mean? What does that mean? Do something, you act. An action to gain something else. And in the action to gain something else, I am the center. And I want to enjoy fruitively. I want to enjoy myself. So this tendency to think and act as if I was the center, and that the world is revolving around me. This is the illusion we were speaking of. And within the heart, there's a tight knot of this illusion, a turning the back on Krishna. Krishna bhule se jiva nadiya bahimukh. And as a result of that, atta eva maya tare samsareda duk. We get turning our back on Krishna, we land ourselves in the material world and we get misery. So this can be removed, this knot, this turning our back on Krishna, this enmity with Krishna, the very root cause about being in the material world that prohibits us from surrendering, giving ourselves to Krishna with love, can be cut by the mercy of Lord Shankarshan if we remember him. And when we turn our back on Krishna, we end up with this false ego again, which is characterized by a desire to enjoy the material world, to dominate the material energy. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti janeha karanam guna sangasya. That puts us in contact with, under the grip of the material energy. And we get sarasad joni janma. So birth after birth, meeting happiness, distress, on and on and on, one after another, one situation after another, always hoping that this is going to yield the sweet fruit that we are looking for. One after another, we are led, circumstance after situation, pulled, propelled by that desire to enjoy independently of Krishna. So that can be cut. That hard knot at the root of it can be broken, cut by the mercy of Shankarshan. Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, always glorifies Anantadev in his father's assembly. So who is his father? Lord Brahma, yes. Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, glorifies it. Anantadev in his father's assembly. There he sings blissful verses of his own composition. accompanied by his stringed instrument, or a celestial singer known as Tamburu. Here is, we'll read part of Prabhupada's purport. The Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya belong to the disciplic succession stemming from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the spiritual master of Narada. Narada is the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, all devotees in Gaudiya Sampradaya accept the activities of Lord Anantadev related in the Srimad Bhagavatam as authentic, and they are thus benefited by going back home, back to Godhead. The contamination in the heart of a conditioned soul is like a huge accumulation of garbage, trash. And no matter how many times we recycle it, it is still garbage. So many desires sitting in the heart. So many desires. These are all garbage. Covering our true nature, our true identity, covering our relationship with Krishna. And in the heart, everyone's heart, my heart is just so covered with all these desires and fears. Hopes, aspirations, fears. And they're created by the three modes of material nature, especially the modes of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. And then when we don't become satisfied, anger. But this kind of lust and anger and greed is different from when Krishna may experience lust, anger, and greed. These are caused by the three modes of material nature, and Krishna is transcendental. Again, that means beyond this. He's above this. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in disciplic succession, there is no question of his becoming purified of this contamination. So Narada's prayers in 9 through 15, 12, 13. First I'll read all the verses, then we'll read the purport, especially there's in text 9, there's a fairly long one describing the glories of Ananta. By his glance, here's the first verse composed by Narada Muni. By his glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the causes of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. By his glance, the Lord does this. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless, and although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. How can human society understand the ways of the Supreme? He's unlimited, has unlimited forms, and so powerful. By his glance, creation, maintenance, and destruction of the entire universe takes place. So how can we understand him? This is so far beyond our potency to understand. 10. This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all that we see is his energy. Out of his causeless mercy towards his devotees, he exhibits various forms which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. So he comes so many times in so many forms within this world and exhibits pastimes. For what purpose? For what purpose does he exhibit these pastimes? To deliver the conditioned souls, yes. But what? To conquer the minds of his devotees. That's why he comes. And to give pleasure to their hearts. Because a devotee means that he is in love with Krishna. So they're all the time thinking about him. Oh, when will I be able to see him by his causeless mercy? When will I be able to serve him? Purely just for his pleasure. And then Krishna, to reciprocate with their love, he comes. And they feel so much pleasure in their hearts, so much satisfaction. And their minds become conquered by him. In what sense? They become enraptured by his beauty, by his sweetness, by his ways of dealing. He captures their heart. He's a person, the supreme person, the most expert at capturing the heart of his devotees. So this is why he comes in so many different forms. And he's all powerful, yet he accepts these different forms. And each of those forms, regardless of which form he is transcendental, having nothing to do with matter. Text 11. Even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly, oh, Hare Krishna, or by chance, just happened to say Krishna's name. He and anyone who hears him are freed from all sins. How powerful is the Lord's name, because it's none different from the Lord. Abhina Tvam Nama Namano. So here is the transcendental Lord and here is the transcendental name. Therefore, considering that the name of the Lord is so wonderfully powerful, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Shesha? Of whom else should one take shelter? Because the Lord is unlimited, no one can estimate his power. This entire universe, filled with its many great mountains, rivers, oceans, trees, and living entities, is resting just like an atom on one of his many thousands of hoods. Is there anyone, even with thousands of tongues, who can describe his glories? There is no end to the great and glorious qualities of that powerful Lord Anantadev. Indeed, his prowess is unlimited. Though self-sufficient, he himself is the support of everything. He supports everything in existence. It rests upon him. He resides beneath the lower planetary systems and easily sustains the entire universe. So we'll read the last two verses and then discuss. So those were the prayers of Narada Muni that he himself composed, glorifying Lord Anantadev. He's unlimited. His name is all-powerful, none different from him. Let us take shelter of him. He's transcendental, beyond matter. So powerful that all existence is being sustained by him. So Sukadeva Goswami continues to speak to Maharaj Prickett. My dear king, as I heard of it from my spiritual master, I have fully described to you the creation of this material world according to the fruit of activities and desires of the conditioned soul. So he's ending, coming near the end of his description of the material world of the universe. Those conditioned souls who are full of material desires achieve various situations in different planetary systems. and in this way they live within the material creation. My dear king, I have thus described how people generally act according to their different desires, and as a result get different types of bodies in higher or lower planets. You inquired of these things for me, and I have explained to you whatever I have heard from authorities. What shall I speak of now? So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we will hear the king's question that causes him to speak further of a similar topic. And that will cause us to, if Krishna allows, to finish Canto 5. So we'll go back and read some purports. Before we read about Anantadev, we'll hear what Prabhupada said in regard to the living entities being placed in different situations on different planets according to their different desires. Because it's our desire that determines where we will be situated. This is a very heavy topic, actually. Our desires determine where we'll be situated. If we have godly desires, we'll become godly. If we have heavenly desires, we'll become heavenly. If we have selfish, mean, petty, nasty desires, we'll become situated in hellish places. Srila Prabhupada's purport to text 14. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Anadi karmafal padi bhavarnavajal tari bare na deki upai. My Lord, I do not know when I commenced my material life, but I can certainly experience that I have fallen in the deep ocean of nescience. Now I can also see that there is no other way to get out of it than to take shelter of your lotus feet. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers the following prayer. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam buddha. Everyone, if you know it. Kripaya tava parapankaja stita duli sadvijam vajintaya. My dear Lord, son of Nanda Maharaj, Ayi Nanda Tanuja, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Kinkaram, I am your servant, I am your Kinkara, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or another, I have fallen into this ocean of nescience, of ignorance, this material world. Kindly, therefore, save me from this horrible condition of materialist life. And place me as your insignificant servant of your lotus feet. So here we'll read what some of the purport to the description of the glories of Lord, potent description of the glories of Lord Ananta. From Vedic literature, we learn that when the Supreme Lord glances, sa'ik shita, over the material energy, the three modes of material nature become manifest and create material variety. Before he glances over the material energy, there is no possibility of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world. The Lord existed before the creation, and consequently, he is eternal and unchanging. Therefore, how can any human being, however great a scientist or philosopher he may be, understand the ways of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Just like if someone takes a chapati. Have you experienced what a chapati is? Yeah. And gives it to me. So if I want to understand the farmer who grew the wheat that was harvested and then ground up, husked, then ground up, then sold as flour, then shipped here and made into a chapati and offered to the Lord, and then I get it. So by studying the chapati, will I be able to understand the farmer in any way, no matter how sincere I am, no matter how intelligent I am, no matter how much I really apply my intelligence and implements and microscopes and electronic this, I'll never be able to understand the farmer who planted the seed, who grew it. So how can we understand Krishna? By studying his creation, the chapati-like material world. How can any human being, however great a scientist or philosopher he may be, understand the ways of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following quotations from Chaitanya Bhagavat tell of the glories of Lord Ananta. So there's many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 slokas with the Bengali. The Prabhupada is included in the purport, and I'll just read the English. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, and Narada, are all pure devotees, eternal servants of the Lord. Lord Sri Ananta is worshipped by all the uncontaminated devotees mentioned above. He has thousands of hoods and is the reservoir of all devotional service. Lord Ananta is the original person and the great mystic controller. At the same time, he is a servant of God, a Vaishnava. Since there is no end to his glories, no one can understand him fully. I have already spoken to you of his service to the Lord. Now hear how the self-sufficient Anantadeva exists in the lower planetary system of Patala. Bearing his stringed instrument, the tamburu, on his shoulders, the great sage Narada Muni always glorifies Lord Ananta. Narada Muni has composed many transcendental verses in praise of the Lord. Simply due to the glance of Lord Ananta, the three material modes of material nature interact and produce creation, maintenance, and annihilation. These modes of nature appear again and again. The Lord is glorified as one without a second. What does it mean that he's one without a second? Yes, exactly. No one is his equal. Or no one is greater than him either. He is one without a second. And as the supreme truth who has no beginning, therefore he is called Anantadev, unlimited. Who can understand him? His form is completely spiritual, and he manifested only by his mercy. All the activities in this material world are conducted only in his form. He is very powerful and always prepared to please his personal associates and devotees. If we simply try to engage in the congregational chanting of the glories of Lord Anantadev, the dirty things in our heart accumulated during many births will immediately be washed away. Therefore, a Vaishnava never loses an opportunity to glorify Anantadev. So these are all Vrindavan Das Thakur, written in Chaitanya Bhagavat. These are all his own rendition and expansion of these verses that we have just heard spoken by Narada Muni in this chapter. Lord Anantadev is known as Shesha, the unlimited end, because he ends our passage through this material world. Simply by chanting his glories, everyone can be liberated. On his head, Anantadev sustains the entire universe with its millions of planets containing enormous oceans and mountains. He is so large and powerful that this universe rests on one of his hoods, just like a drop of water. He does not know where it is. While bearing the universe on one of his hoods, Anantadev chants the glories of Krishna with each of his thousands of mouths. Although he has been chanting the glories of Lord Krishna since time immemorial, he has still not come to their end. To this very day, Lord Anantadev continues to chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and still he finds no end to them. Jai Lord Anantadev. The next verse explains, I'll just read it. This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of His causeless mercy towards His devotees, He exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and He possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of His devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, He appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. It is by His will that gross and subtle ingredients interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of His pure devotees. That's the end of Jiva Goswami's translation. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please His devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhadak ocean. So that's the end of Prabhupada's purports on that. Instead of beginning chapter 26, we'll end here. And thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Krishna is so attractive, beautiful. How would that be possible for us to forget him? It's very attractive.
You mean originally? Ahi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam buddha kripaya tava parapankaja stitaduli sadvisham vishintaya. My dear Lord, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or another, I have fallen into this ocean of nescience. Kindly, therefore, save me from this horrible condition of materialistic life. My Lord, I do not know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, when I commenced my material life, but I can certainly experience that I have fallen in the deep ocean of nescience, ignorance. Now I can also see that there is no other way to get out of it than to take shelter of your lotus feet. So, for we who are trapped within the material world, controlled by the time factor, we who are so insignificant, we cannot understand that which happened beyond time. So if you want to crack your skull against the wall of this one, you can do so, but you'll not get me to join you. Whatever way you look at it, whatever, there's people who give different answers to this question, there's problems. Whatever way, nothing, you can't figure it out. If you say we've always been here, there's a problem. Because Krishna made us always be here, then if you say that we were there and fell down, there's a problem. How could we fall down? We were with Krishna. You can bang away if you like. Somehow or another. But what is realizable clearly to us is that we're here. That's how I answer that question, at least at this time. Do you want to? Would you like to respond? It's a hard, after an answer like that, it's obviously hard to say anything else, but.
What to say?
Yeah.
Obviously, he must have helped us communicate.
Maya, there must be something with desire taking a chance. Yeah. Anyway, I can't do better than that answer myself. Yeah.
Just another answer. Question.
Yes.
So, is that it may be in the material world for so many millions of births, but in the realm or conception of eternal time by Kunta, it's actually only a fraction of a second. So for the other residents, we may have gone, but then we come back very quickly. So in that sense, we very quickly return to Krishna because he's all attractive.
And Prabhupada also sometimes said we're actually not away from Krishna in the spiritual world. We're just in forgetting, like sleeping, dreaming that we are. There's many ways to answer it. But whichever way you try, you can't truly understand it until you're liberated. That's actually the truth. You can have an intellectual way and be on the bandwagon on one side or the other of it and criticize all the people who think differently, but actually you don't understand it. Because you can't understand it as a conditioned soul. Huh?
Just thought it'd be good to just
talk about it. Okay. Any other? Anyone want to stir things up? Anyone else want to just say things you don't care about? Just to like, I'm just teasing you. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. Any other questions? Any genuine questions? Sticky again. No. Okay. Yes.
We attract
James, Krishna, Is that before prayer? Yeah. Prabhupada at times has translated it as, "O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service." In other words, I no longer want to be serving illusion in the material world, serving Maya, I want to serve you. And I'm helpless to get out by my own power. Please allow me to serve you. Another way Prabhupada's translated is, "O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, please accept me as your servant." So it's truly a prayer. Other times, you can understand that it's just names, actually. It's names of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, or sometimes Rama, meaning Balaram, sometimes Rama, meaning Lord Ramachandra, and sometimes Rama, meaning Radhika Rama, Krishna. So calling on them, just like when a baby calls out, "Mother!" There is so much meaning attached to the call. It may mean, "Come to me, I miss you." It may mean, "I'm hungry." It may mean, "Help me, I'm in distress." But it's only a name. But it's a sincere call of the living entity to the Lord to be again engaged in service. There's so many different translations of the meaning of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. Is that okay? Any other question? Or prasna? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Anantadev ki jai. Narada Muni ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.